Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. Season 6, episode 83, and we are kind of in that kind of period between the end of the Super Bowl and the new calendar year, which starts May 8th or 9th when the NFL rolls into the 2016 season. And Dave, it's a great day because we're going to have Dave T. Thomas with us on the back half of the podcast, and we'll get into some deep draft discussions. And as much as I know people like to hear us, I think they might even like to hear Dave T. more than that.
Boy, we can, if people had their way, I think it would be the Dave T. podcast with occasional guests Dave and Dave, right? but the ratings, as we would say, are actually the traffic and the downloads. They've been great all year, obviously, and even into the off season, not bad and all. But we would expect this one to get a lot of work. And look, this won't be the last time that we have Dave T. on. Here we probably have him on a couple more times, so we get into some early talk with him. Everybody should enjoy it. It's something that we haven't done a lot of since the season ended, for sure. So look forward to that. It's a good 26 minutes or so, right, Dave?
Yep. We just knocked it out, so we know how it goes. We know how the story ends. Dave, I'm going to make a little plug for my show today, as I will be at the auto show, and if you get this before 3 o'clock. On Friday, I'll be at the auto show 3 to 5 today. It will be a Steeler focused show. Dale Lawley and I will be in the first hour. In the second hour, I'm going to have Arthur Motes with me, and Art Rooney will be with me. I had a chance to speak to him yesterday for about 20 minutes. We didn't get into Steeler specific stuff. Look, Art's not here to in any of these conversations. Art's not going to tell you, what they're going to do with Antonio Brown's contract or who they're going to draft or things like that. But I did have a very interesting conversation with him about the state of the league and about Roger Goodell and about player safety and about relocation, which he was involved in. And there was a very interesting article that came out yesterday, kind of sounded like a backroom brawl, basically, going on between the owners about who was going to relocate where and some of those topics. So that'll play at 4:30 Eastern time. It'll play a couple times during the weekend on ESPN Pittsburgh. It'll be on Steelers Nation Radio. So if you get a chance, I'd love to have you tune in for that.
We've got something interesting. A couple reports surfaced on Thursday, right? That's got the got us and a lot of Steeler fans on the internet up in arms, right? You want to set it up?
Yeah, let me set it up. And look, Dave, I love doing this podcast with you, and obviously I am just kind of an adjunct part of SteelersDepot.com, because this is, other than writing some game recaps, this is what I do. And you and all the other guys, Alex did a great job that he does, and Matthew and the other writers that you have, but primarily you, and you've spent so much time, devoting your life to this. And how much I admire the work that you do. And one of the things I think you do as well as anybody in the country is track the cap. And, look, there are people who do it for each team. There are people who do it for a living. And you do it with the information that you have publicly available. And so today there were a couple of reports out, or I guess it was yesterday, Field Yates and Ed Bouchette wrote about the Steelers cap situation. And you've written an article kind of, and I think you did a great job, because in writing the article, it's not taking anybody to task. It's trying to figure out where they got their numbers and compare them to the work that you did. And that's, that's admirable. It's not, telling other people they're wrong. It's saying, trying to show how you derived what you got, and basically then saying, if you've got a comment on it, comment and show me what I did wrong, and we'll go from there. So I think you broke down Field Yates's numbers pretty straightforwardly. You were able to come up with what he got and explain kind of the differences. And, I had a bit of a conversation with Ed Bouchette this morning on Twitter, and basically what I said to Ed was Ed wrote that the Steelers are a couple million dollars over the cap, according to a source who has intimate knowledge of this information. And for all of us who do this for a living, that's incredibly frustrating. And I'm sure, you know, to some degree, it's probably frustrating for Ed as well. I'm not faulting Ed in any way, shape, or form for this. He has sources, and that's excellent for him. And somebody that he obviously trusts told him something. So I've got no problem with anything that Ed did. The problem is we're all trying to work from what we think is reliable public information that's accurate. And if the quote-unquote source says it's not accurate, well, that makes all our work kind of almost, you know, I want to say to a point, it makes it useless. Because why are we all spending this time working on this and then talking about it and then trying to figure things out if the publicly available data that's supposed to be accurate is not accurate? And so Ed and I went back and forth a little bit. And, you know, he said basically at the end, he said, I agree, all this stuff should be, you know, the league should make this publicly available and have every team's cap number updated daily so that we don't have to have this guessing game. And you've gone through it. You did it. You know, you like they say, show your work. Well, you showed your work as you know, intimately and detailed as possible, and came up with, I think, a number of about 149 million, which would be, you know, 4 or 5 or 6, depending on the final cap number, under the cap. So that's the conversation today. And like I said, Dave, I respect all you do with this, and I think you do a fantastic job. And I'm sure for you, it's frustrating as well when somebody just says, you know, well, that's wrong, but, you know, I'm not going to tell you why.
Yeah, and let me start off with saying, Phil Yates and Ed Bouchette, I've followed both those guys for years. They do amazing work, and that's kind of, you know, I have had the tone in the past on my site going after guys like Bill Barnwell, guys that I just don't think add value in what they do, especially when it comes to individual NFL teams.
Yeah,
and knowing
specifics, yeah.
Right. Now, does that mean Bill Barnwell's not a good writer and hasn't, you know, isn't knowledgeable on certain things in NFL? No, but I mean, if I see something time and time and time again, you know, and incorrect, to me, they lose credibility in those certain areas.
You and I just go apoplectic about the Steelers cap situation every year
Absolutely, and specifically when, and like I said, I love Phil Yates. He's great at revealing contract info. Ed Bouchette, I mean, I've had Ed on the show several times. I really do respect his work as a reporter. He usually doesn't get caught up in all that he said, she said kind of stuff. But regardless, here's the short of it. Phil Yates reported the Steelers, and this is an ESPN Inside article. He reports the Steelers is having $155.9 million in cap commitments for 2016. That's a kind of a loose term right there, cap commitments. And if you look at my work on Steelers Depot, and you can kind of reverse engineer this and kind of figure out what Phil Yates did here. The Steelers technically, well, I shouldn't say technically, what he did is he took 65 players under contract for the Steelers, not including Mike Adams. All right, so he took all of their cap charges of those 65 players, and then he added the outstanding dead money that the Steelers currently have, which is a little over $765,000. He added those two things together, and yeah, if you add all of that together, I think you get $155 million 900,000. Can you read my own writing here? And that matches his number. So that's obviously what he did there. Now, I'm trying to keep this kind of loose too, so I don't, people's heads out there aren't exploding with math and all like that. The NFL during the offseason works what's called a rule of 51. A rule of 51 basically states that the top 51 salary cap hits of the players that you have under contract, plus any dead money, plus if any players there are outside of that rule of 51 have bonus money amortization of signing bonus money, you must include that bonus money amortization as well, too. In the case of the Steelers, they don't have any players outside of their 51 that have any outstanding bonus money. So really, when you're dealing with them, you're dealing with the top 51 salaries, you're dealing with the dead money, and then that's your rule of 51 number, so to speak, okay? And when you do that with the Steelers, and I think I laid this out on the site here, you're looking at 148, or just a rule of 51, the total of the contracts is a little over 149,000. When you look at the dead money, that's 765,000 there. And here's what I did. I went ahead and tried to add in some extra things as calculation. The thing about the salary cap, David, and I've said this several times, tracking it real time with not having complete total access to the reports is damn near impossible because you don't know when certain things, charges are going to hit. For the sake of my example, I went ahead and included a projected cap payback, credit payback for the Steelers in 2016. What is that? Okay, if you remember back when the CBA, when the new CBA came into effect, teams were able to have those veteran cap credits, and I think in total they totaled up, I believe it was $4.5 million, and the teams have to pay that back by, I think it's 2017, all right? So the projected a little bit over $1.1 million charge there. The projected workout bonuses for the offseason, players get paid, if it's not in their contract that they receive a workout bonus, they get a per diem, per player per day throughout each of the offseason, dedicated practices. That rough estimate charge is $560,000. Could be a little bit more, could be a little bit less. The NFL will adjust that once the real amounts are known. Projected rollover. The Steelers last season had a projected had a little over $3 million in leftover cap space. The CBA states that you can roll that money over. All in all, after doing all this and estimating a projected $154 million salary cap charge for 2016, now we won't know that number for several more weeks, but that's what a lot of people are thinking it's going to be. Based on all those charges that I even told you, the Steelers, I have the Steelers at $5.26 million under the cap. So if Ed has them at what, 2.5 over?
Yep.
And I have them at 5.2 under with all of those charges added in, that's a huge difference. Now, I mean, that's a huge difference that we're talking about. Now, here's something that I did trying to figure out what Ed did. The Steelers have ahead of them at some point. They have to get their draft picks under contract. They have to eventually sign a 52nd and 53rd player to their roster. The Steelers usually like to have $3 million in reserve cap space. The 10-man practice squad I mentioned, to final two roster spots. If you want to add all those things in now and kind of buffer in, that would eat up roughly $4.7 million. $7.7 million, I guess, by the time that you add in the buffer there, $7.7 million worth of additional cap space will be needed at some point. So if you take that $7.7 million and you subtract my $5.2 million, what do you get?
$2.5 million, right.
All right. So that's the only way I can see where Ed Bouchette's source is coming up and saying that the Steelers are currently $2.5 million over the cap. And that would be with all this stuff, all these projected charges, draft picks, everything that the team will have to do. And plus additionally a $3 million, cap space going into the season. That's the only way I can see that. So I know I drew that out. I know heads are exploding all over the place, but I just cannot see where my numbers are wrong.
Right. I mean, well, the point is, and I'll just go back to the frustration of it, is if Ed Source says the publicly available data is wrong, then your numbers could be wrong. If we don't have the right numbers, then we don't have the right numbers. So, I don't know what to say to that. It's just throw up your hands and say, well, what the hell are we doing this for? So
Yeah, and here's the thing, and you've seen this on Twitter, and you've seen this on the internet, David. It's no secret. These contracts all flush out at some point, and even though they're not supposed to do it, and I'm not going to name names, agents, sports agents, and even some former sports agents have access to the actual numbers on the NFLPA site.
Sure.
Okay, and I have people that feed me these numbers. You know, should they? They're gonna. They come out anyway. You know. Now there's things that you know, kind of other things that haven't happened, like the performance escalator with Marcus Wheaton. I went ahead and figured that in. I'm not sure if the NFLPA has already given Marcus Wheaton that raise yet. I know it's going to happen, so why not go ahead and figure it in? Mike Adams, I'm willing to bet you that Phil Yates, his numbers are 65 players under contract and not 66, because I guarantee you he's not accounting for Mike Adams' contract toiling.
Right.
After last year. We covered that. We had that before anybody. We had that on Steelers Depot before anybody had that, you know, found that stipulation in the CBA. The thing is, these numbers all come out. So if there's a discrepancy right now, that huge a discrepancy, that means something happened in the last, I don't know, 72 hours maybe, that hasn't been reported, you know, bless you, hasn't been reported. Put it to you this way: if the Steelers were $2.5 million over the cap right now as a true number, not planning ahead with all these other future charges, don't you think there'd be some cuts already starting to be made? Or you know, and look, yeah, we know they can save money in restructures, and these restructures are going to happen, you know, possibly with Ben and Cameron Hayward, and who knows, maybe another player or two after that. But if indeed that's where that number is, that it's just blowing my mind. I can't see it. And like I said, I respect Ed. I respect Phil Yates. But at least Ed Bouchette could do is if his source is feeding him this information, the least he could say is, look, here is where
the difference is.
The difference is. Here's what you guys are missing. I mean, because that big a mistake, that's more than just an addition error.
Right.
Me not taking my shoes off, you know.
All right, so that's where we are on the cap, you know, and like I said, it's I'm sure we'll spend plenty of time on this as we go forward. Dave, you know, we've got a lot of draft talk coming up. Did you read the article on the relocation that outside the lines? It was on the ESPN magazine piece. Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta Jr. wrote about kind of I don't know how fascinating it is for people because it doesn't affect anything Steelers related, but I guess there was some serious arm twisting, infighting, insults, etc. in the ownership group, and it was kind of the old guard against the new guard about who was going to relocate to LA and how they were going to do it. Did you get a chance to see that at all?
No, I didn't read that. What was there? Was there an overarching kind of thing?
Oh yeah, it's
very,
well, it's just, you know, guys are killing guys, I don't know that anybody looks at those 32 NFL owners as a unified force. There are definitely factions, and we know that. And we've heard stories about it, and I did ask Art Rudy about it, and he politely, he was one of six people on the Los Angeles Opportunities Committee. And he kind of politely said, well, I wouldn't characterize it quite the way, you know, the quote I had just read him characterized it. But he said it took a lot longer than he expected, and it took a lot more time than he expected. But I haven't finished the article myself. It just came out yesterday afternoon. But just interesting insights about what's going on. And obviously it came out this morning that the Raiders have reached a one-year deal with the Oakland Coliseum. They'll stay where they are, and they have an option for a couple more years. So at least temporarily, we don't have the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, not yet anyway. How much do you think this is posturing between NFL teams and cities? And
I asked him about that, and I asked him about public financing and stuff like you know, those types of things. Look, obviously it wasn't posturing for St. Louis. They left. They wanted to go. And I think San Diego was good to go as well. They've been trying to get a stadium. And I think the Raiders have a bad stadium. So in this, look, I absolutely, it has happened that teams have postured for sure. I think this is a different situation.
You know, that's, I love, you know, certain aspects of the business outside of what happens off the field. I absolutely love, you know, free agency, contracts and all like that. I hate writing about legal situations with players and stuff such as relocation and stuff like that, you know, and it probably interests you more than salary cap does. And it's good, you know, and that's probably why I haven't made it a must do for me to kind of go read that stuff. I kind of listen to shows like yours to get my quick information like that, you know, and help with my reading comprehension when it comes to understanding the facts associated to that.
They're not really a lot of NFL related news. We got the Burfict suspension was upheld at 3 games.
And that didn't surprise you, did it?
No, and I said I would be shocked if look, off-the-field stuff and on-the-field stuff maybe are adjudicated differently, but that's on the field. They made a quick decision. I was really going to be surprised if that changed, and it didn't. I asked Art about that. He said, you know, he was pleased that it was upheld. There's no room in the game for that. LeSean McCoy is going to get whatever, you know, arrested or I don't know. If you're the Bills, do you cut him?
No, I don't cut him. I work through it. I don't cut him.
Anything else in the big picture of things?
No, I mean, look, we know what's going to happen with Johnny Manziel soon. I think that's obvious. What about the other stuff with a couple other players? I think that the proverbial crap finally hit the fan with a couple of those other guys from the incidents that happened towards the end of last season there. The Burfict stuff didn't surprise me at all. What else has been topical here in the last I think that's pretty much LeSean McCoy. He was never a problem at Pitt that you know of, right?
Not that I know of. Although, you know, when something like this comes out, then you know, people start bringing up stuff that you'd never heard before. So, I mean, I guess he's not a Boy Scout, I guess.
And who among us is?
Correct.
But stuff, you know, definitely concerning when it comes out. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out with the league office and everything goes along with it. All right, I guess we've hee-hawed or we've blown people's minds with math already. We should finally submit to them and give them some draft talk, right?
Yeah, let's get to it. We got Dave T. Thomas up next. Okay, as we said up front on today's Terrible Podcast, we have one of our all-time favorite guests, and not just one of our favorite guests, one of your favorite guests. Dave T. Thomas is with us as we talk NFL draft, and it's something we look forward to every year. It's Dave, and Dave on the Terrible Podcast. Dave T., as always, thanks for being with us here on the Terrible Podcast. How are things?
Oh, let me tell you one thing, guys. Anytime I see that email message from you guys, I jump. I just love talking to the Pittsburgh Steelers guys, and you got yourselves one hell of a fan base. Let me tell you, the response I've been getting throughout the years from your people have been phenomenal.
Well, that's kind of you to say. We appreciate you being with us. What are you up to these days? How are you spending your time?
Well, I was going to step into retirement, but my great wife over here,
you cannot ever. You will never step into retirement.
I know. You know what happened? The Giants called, New England called, Carolina called, Green Bay called, Minnesota called. Next thing I know, even though I walked away from the NFL office last year because I'm still a little ticked off at them. As a matter of fact, last year was the first time in 45 years the NFL was not able to give the media my reports. Guys like you did get them, though. The reason why I did that was I'm a New Yorker, true and blue. Cut me open, I bleed big blue. Slice me apart, I bleed pinstripes. You move the draft to Chicago, you go there by yourself, you let those fat cats sit down and eat those deep-tip pizza, but they're not going to read my material.
Well, Dave, it's as I say, it's always a pleasure to have you. Let's get right in it. And look, we know the Steelers' positions of needs, but I want to just open you up with one thing that's always the conversation and get your thoughts on it. And it's the quarterback position. And always teams will reach for quarterbacks because we know how important it is in the league. And this year, you've got some guys. You've got Wentz, who went to a smaller school at North Dakota State. You've got Paxton Lynch. You've got Goff. You've got Connor Cook. You've got Dak Prescott. If you were just ranking raw talents, are any of these guys in your mind? And it seems like some guys have now thought after the Senior Bowl that Wentz is a first-round talent, maybe even a top-10 talent, but he's a developmental guy. Are any of these guys going to be elite quarterbacks in the league?
You know, I look at Wentz. I like what he's done out there, but I also got to go back and look at one thing. He's not durable. 7 games he played in this year, he's had a couple of injuries. Before that, he spent 3 years on the bench. So all of a sudden, I'm going to get warm and fuzzy over a guy that has 7 games of starting experience underneath his belt. A season the year before where he did nothing more than run with the ball. He's a good talent, don't get me wrong, but I look at the Ryan Tannehills, I look at the Blaine Gabberts, and I put this kid in the same category. Hell, if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan right now, I'm crying for round 5 to come up on the board, and I'm crying and that they take a quarterback out of Hoosier land. Nate Sudfeld, you ask any of the Mannings what he did down at the camp this year. They say he has the best pure motion out there. Look at his size, 6'7", 250 pounds. The kid is Ben Jr. You bring him in, you put him on the bench, you keep Gronkowski around, you say, Landry Jones, go take your medical records and go someplace else. Let this kid groom behind. Look around the league. Look at the Tom Brady's. I mean, look at the guys, the Ryan Fitzpatrick's, the guys that did not go in the first round. Those are the guys 3, 4, 5 years down the road, because somebody made them a backup quarterback, they come into the game. You know what our problem is today? Too many rookies stepping in at quarterback. And you know what it looks like? Bambi staring at the headlights of a truck coming down the highway. Remember the old days? I mean, if a quarterback got in before he was 30, he was considered a young gun.
Absolutely true, and you're right. I mean, nobody gets any time, and Bortles was the obvious guy, and he seems to have developed reasonably well, but they said they were going to wait a year, and they waited 3 games down in Jacksonville. Let me ask you about one other position to get it out of the way, because it'll, again, not be a position where the Steelers probably have interest. It's the running back position. Ezekiel Elliott is the consensus top back, along with Derrick Henry. I've heard comparisons of Ezekiel Elliott to Todd Gurley. I don't see it. Maybe he's a back end of the first round guy. Maybe he'll be a very good NFL back. I thought Gurley was a different kind of back in terms of being an elite talent. Is there a back like that in this draft?
You're looking out there, and they say Elliott will probably be the only first-round draft pick at the running back. But I got to look at you go later on down in the draft. You go look at Allen over at Western Kentucky. Kenneth Dixon over at Louisiana Tech. If I'm coming up in the third or fourth round and these guys are up on the board, I want a back that's similar to Le'Veon Bell. Hey, Le'Veon went down. D'Angelo stepped in. But what happened when D'Angelo stepped out? We had to go with a couple of midgets in the backfield. What you need is a complementary back that is similar to what you got. Go look for a 230-pounder in this draft, and you'll do well next season.
Dave, we're going to have you on probably a couple of times during the off season here, and so I want to be careful what we choose and talk about today. Kind of want to give overviews and your thoughts on positional groups. But before we do that, I wanted you to rattle off 3 guys, and we're early in the pre-draft process here. Name 3 players that you think are being overrated the most at any position by majority of the draft nicks, and 3 players at any position that you think might be underrated and people are not talking enough about right now.
Well, I tell you, the first one that hits my mind is any quarterback that is not named Carson Wentz. I think that a lot of teams are going to go early for quarterbacks that will be here. I don't see a starting quarterback in this draft after Wentz, and even on him, I'm holding my head out. Same thing goes with the tight end position. Everybody likes Henry down in Arkansas, but after him, what are you going to do? Wait another year, get the kid out of Clemson next year and leg it. One kid that I think is vastly overrated every time I look at him is that wide receiver down in Mississippi, Tunsil. I mean, you go back and look at the guy. Look what he did this year. All right, he had 60-some
Treadwell, right? Laquon Treadwell.
Treadwell, sorry. But you know, with all of his receptions, he caught 47% of the targeted passes coming to him. I mean, I'm sorry, I need my wide receivers to catch at least 70% of the balls that are coming their way.
When you talk about the Steelers specifically, it wouldn't be surprising to see them draft a safety at some point during this draft. In fact, probably could see it in the first four rounds. Tell us some guys that deserve first, you know, that would fit the Steelers system, that you would consider first or second round guys, and then if they decided to wait, you know, as you always like to do, give us some guys to look at either mid or late rounds that play the safety position.
Well, if you're going to waste a second round draft pick on a safety this year, you might as well take a linebacker and try to convert him to Southern California kids, Rock Cravens. Another guy that I love a lot is Jeremy Cash. I think Cash might slide into round three because he's still recovering from the wrist surgery. He didn't look that well down at the Senior Bowl. But I think that if I'm Pittsburgh Steelers right now, I'm moving my scouting staff to Ohio, and that's Columbus. They've had great success there before. Look at Cam Hayward. Look at Shazier, look at Will Allen. They're looking at Darren Lee, the linebacker. This is a kid that has blazing speed at 4.48. But me, I say I just pray to dear God that they find the apple of their eye in the 25th pick in the draft, and that's Eli Apple. As much as you talk about Jalen Ramsey in this draft, I think Jalen Ramsey's the next Brian Dawkins. Move him to free safety. The kid's an all-pro. Put him at cornerback, I got a good cornerback. But I look at what this New England did with Devin McCourty, and that's what I would do with Ramsey. I take Apple if he's still there with number 25. If he's not there at number 25, I'm trading down in this draft. Why? Because I'm looking at this draft with about 60 second-round draft picks.
Go ahead, Dave.
That's interesting that you say Apple, and I think the consensus is Ramsey and Hargraves are off the board maybe in the first 10 picks. So,
My God. Did you see Hargraves the second half of this season? I still got that clothespin on my nose.
tell me, the guy I want you to compare Apple to was Mackenzie Alexander, the redshirt sophomore at Clemson. Got dinged up in the championship game, so didn't play the whole second half. But he's a guy who there's not a ton of tape on him because they didn't throw at him much. He doesn't have elite size, but he battles, man. What are your thoughts on him versus Apple?
Very good cover man, but I go back to the Ike Taylor era. I go back to the Blunt era. I go back to the JT Thomas era. Give me a guy that's going to hit. I'm not going to get that from Alexander. Alexander goes out on the football field and looks like he's playing flag football. Great going for the ball, very good timing, mirrors the receiver well, but if it comes time for tackling, he had 23 tackles this year. Out of the 23 tackles, 14 of them were assisted. 14 assisted tackles from my cornerback. Whatever happened about the initial tackle? Meanwhile, I look at Apple over here.
Interesting, because I do think he could be a physical guy for his size. I thought he's the little bit I've seen, and I haven't seen enough, but I thought he was okay at run support. But you like Apple because you think bigger size, very physical, and you like the upside, the ceiling better.
Look at the receivers we got coming out lately, especially teams using multiple receivers. Anybody that's going to defend next year when Benjamin comes back with Carolina, with Benjamin and Funchess, you're going to need a basketball team out there to defend those guys. I want a cornerback that's going to press. That's one of the big things. Look at Apple. Do you realize that this year, 40 times Apple rerouted a receiver away from the ball that they could not catch the ball. Plus, he had 9 PBUs and a couple of picks. I go back and I look at Alexander's totals. 16 times he rerouted a receiver away from the ball. Matter of fact, before I get off the air, I'll give you my website. Boy, do we got some monster research on the cornerbacks in this draft. I got some stats there to blow everybody's mind.
Dave, go ahead, Dave.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask you one more thing about that, Dave. Listen, when you look at what organizations do, and obviously we're very focused on what the Steelers do specifically, do you look at the fact that they haven't drafted a corner since 1997? Do you look and say, okay, that's an organizational philosophy, so if I had to put money down on Vegas, I'm going to bet they don't take a corner? Or do you say, look, each year is different, these guys are smart guys, if the corner is what they think they need and there's a guy there that they like, they'll take him? How much does what they've done in the past influence what you think they'll do this year?
Oh, they definitely need to go. If they're going to go for what they need, they're going to have to go for a cornerback or a linebacker. But you got to go back and look at the past. The only way that you were going to keep Ben standing up was if you addressed the offensive line. That offensive line aged on you guys back after 2010. They had to invest those early round draft picks on there. Some of them panned out. Guys like Mike Adams will never pan out. But you had to protect your quarterback. If not, you weren't going to get anywhere in this game.
When you look at the Steelers and possibly in this draft drafting a defensive tackle that they can move outside to defensive end, talking about those guys, you know, around 6'4" or bigger, you know, 290 to 320, right around in there. Give us a few names that you'd like, and specifically, tell me what you think about Chris Jones out of Mississippi State and Jihad Ward out of Illinois.
Now, Jihad Ward I like. This is a kid that was a junior college player, had a banged-up knee last year, really came on strong the second half of the year. He reminds me a lot of the former New England Patriot, Ty Warren. If I need him at 5-tech, I could play him there. If I need him at 3-tech, I could play him there. If I'm going to go with a 4-3 system, I could use the guy as an under-tackle. However, I still go back to Columbus, Ohio, because I'm telling you, the second coming of Richard Seymour is going to come out of that school, and that's Adolphus Washington. Washington handled the 3-tech duties this year, except for a little infatuation with a prostitute before the bowl game. We probably would have seen him over at the Fiesta Bowl, too. But, you know, he was hanging at home playing games on TV. You got to go look at what Sheldon Rankins did out at the Senior Bowl. This was a strong side defensive end. They moved him inside down there, and he just tore apart every offensive lineman that got in his way. These are guys that I look at the end of round one. If they're still sitting on the board, yes, definitely I got to go ahead and pick them up.
What's your thoughts on Chris Jones out of Mississippi State? Have you watched much tape on him?
Yeah, I like Chris, but, you know, the more I look at Chris, I think he's more of an under tackle. He's like a poor man's Aaron Donald. I don't know if he would operate well in a 3-4. I'm more comfortable with having a bigger defensive lineman next to him on the edge rather than having to possibly handle those duties. He's got quick feet. That's what I like about him, but I do love the way he occupies blockers inside, and that's why I say in a 4-3, let me play him at one of my tackle spots.
When you also look at the Steelers, we'll see what happens with James Harrison during this offseason. He's under contract for 2016. He might either retire, or the Steelers might ask him to retire. We don't know yet. We'll probably find out in the coming weeks here for sure.
Yeah, and he's got the picture of the Dorian Gray hanging up in his house. That guy is ageless.
when you look at the possibility that the Steelers could be in the market in this draft for another edge rusher, you know, and assuming that they don't take one in round one, give us some names, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth round type guys that would fit good as an outside linebacker in the 3-4.
Southern Utah Russian James Kauser. A lot of people are looking at him now on film because they went back and looked at that safety down from the Senior Bowl, Miles Killebrew. So they're seeing a lot of Kauser. And, oh, man, bring my daddy home. Would he look good in that role with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Dottie Nicholas out of Virginia Tech really blew a lot of people's minds when he showed up at 235 at the Senior Bowl. The freaking kid's got 84-inch wingspan, 11-inch hands. That guy's a knuckle feeder along the ground. This is a guy that I want to bring in and play along the edge, and I could still find him out there in round 4 or 5.
Speaking of guys with long arms, I just watched 3 full games last night on Jordan Jenkins out of Georgia. I was really impressed. I mean, you know, 6'2 guy, but, I mean, long arms, and he uses them. What grade do you have on him right now? Second to third?
I love that kid. As a matter of fact, he's my third-rated elephant back in this draft. An elephant, to me, I don't look at the way Green Bay uses the elephant. I look more like how Mike Vrabel was used up in New England. You put Jenkins in that role, the way that they use Vrabel, standing up in the second level, getting down in a three-point stance along the defensive line, you're talking about probably one of the biggest steals in the draft. Look what happened to Georgia this year. Look at their losses. The 3 out of the 4 games they lost was with Jenkins on the sideline with the groin injury.
That's very telling. But I watched the Alabama game. I'm trying to think. Well, the Florida game, and one other game last night. And boy, I was impressed with the way he uses his arms. And I'm with you. I think he's a guy you could actually put down, even though he's what 253, something like that. You could put him down on a line of scrimmage in a 4-point if you had to. Not that that will happen, but I was impressed with him. Where do you think he goes? Third round, second round?
Oh no, I see him going round two. Wait till he gets up to the combines and starts blowing doors off of people over there. To me, he's Jarvis Jones with a brain. And that's what I like about this kid. He's very smart on the field. And don't doubt the ability of Floyd. Everybody's looking at Floyd over there as an outside linebacker. I say in a 3-4 system, you move him inside, you got another Timmons.
Hey, Dave, Jalen Smith's an interesting guy because he probably would have been a top 5 pick if he didn't get hurt in the bowl game out of Notre Dame. He's a guy who probably plays inside, but he can play outside. He's an elite playmaker. When you look at him, who knows how much he'll play this year? So not asking you to evaluate that. None of us know the answer to that. But if he were to be available late in the first round when the Steelers pick, do you say, look, if I can take a top 5, top 10 talent at 25, if he falls that far, do you roll the dice on something like that? Or do you go for the sure thing with a team that obviously everybody thinks is going to be a Super Bowl contender next year?
Well, if I'm sitting there at number 25, I need a guy that's going to come in right now. Whether I'm at 25 or 5, my first-round draft pick's got to play for me immediately. And unless Mike Tomlin wants to sit back for another 9-7 season by redshirting the guy, I don't think Pittsburgh could afford to go ahead and do that. Okay, they do have the 25th pick in the draft, and that's a great value to find Smith on the board. But I can't wait till 2017, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you look at Timmons and you say, boy, you put him in with Shazier, and what a dynamite duo that would be inside. I mean, that's the obvious question. I don't think he'll be there. I think somebody will take him before that. But
if Reggie Ragland's there at number 25, give me that card. I'm going to run it up there like I'm Carl Lewis hopping over the desk. I think Reggie Ragland, to me, he's old school, and I like those old school guys. I like the Singletary guys. I like the Jack Ham guys. That's what I'm going to get with Ragland. Ragland's going to come out there, man, and you're going to see smoke coming out of his nose on every play.
Do you compare him to the guy? I'm drawing a blank, Dave. Who's the Ravens inside backer?
Courtney
Upshaw.
Is it Upshaw you're thinking about?
Oh, you're thinking about C.J. Mosley?
Oh, yes, yeah,
C.J.
Mosley.
That's the guy I'm thinking about.
Let me tell you, Ragland will go down as the best linebacker that Saban has ever produced.
Those are big words.
That's saying a lot, guys. That's saying a lot. He's not the greatest athlete in the world, but I don't care about athletic ability. I care about productability. And this kid is one of the more productive that I've seen out there. Look what he did this year. Oh, my God. I mean, 22 times he took down ball carriers or quarterbacks behind the line of scrimmage. His chase downs alone, he had 32 chase downs back there. This is a guy that spends more time in the huddle than the quarterback.
A couple of cornerbacks that there have been a lot of buzz about over the last couple weeks. I have not watched tape on either of these two guys yet. William Jackson out of Houston and Harlan Miller out of Southeastern Louisiana. What are your thoughts early in this process on both those players?
Well, Miller's impressive except for one thing. This is a kid that looks like he could be a poster child for Ethiopia. If his legs were any skinnier, I would swear Lamar Thomas decided to play cornerback one day. I like those big guys. You know, those little guys are good if I'm going to put them in a slot like the Casey Hayward up at Green Bay. But I need some meat on my players, and if I look at these cornerbacks this year, I mean, there's only 3 out of my top 20 that really have 200 pounds on their body.
One offensive lineman I wanted to ask you about, whether or not he's overrated or underrated. I'm talking about Josh Garnett out of Stanford.
Oh, no. Josh is, how could I put him, I'll eat glass beer and get out there on the football field. I like the way he plays. He's a classic offensive guard. Same thing with the kid that had a great game over at East West and then shot over to the Senior Bowl, Glasgow. Here's a guy I could play at guard and center. And when I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, let me throw one name at you for round 2. Another Hoosier, left offensive tackle Jason Spriggs. This kid has feet out there. He's like a dancing bear. I love that in my left tackle. How long are we going to play a tight end from Army at left tackle while we wait for Beecham to come back?
Nick Vernett out of Ohio State, the tight end. I broke him down along with Henry out of Arkansas already. Watched a lot of tape on both those guys. Is a concern about Vernett just the fact that he didn't have the production in that offense because they didn't throw to him? Because he looks like – I mean, he's more than an accomplished blocker in my opinion. Is it just the fact – I mean, how is he as a route runner, and do you think – he'll be able to show during the draft process here that's something that he can actually be someone to stretch the field?
He reminds me a lot of the guy that's up at Buffalo right now, Scott Chandler. I like the way that he moves out there on the field. My only problem with him is that he seems to labor once he gets past the second level. So this is not a guy that's going to get more than, you know, those 8 to 10 yard passes over there. But I say one thing, too. I look at the guy, and I look at number 81 on the roster. Hey, give Jesse James some time out there. This kid's going to come through for these guys. I like the way that Jesse blocks. I mean, if Blanchflower could ever get over those injuries, Blanchflower, you go back to his sophomore year at UMass, everybody was thinking that this was going to be the second coming of Gronk. They were even calling him Baby Gronk back then. That back injury did take a lot out of him.
Yeah, he had like a double, a hernia or something. That kid just can't say. I broke down his film at Massachusetts and really liked him, you know, as a late-round pick for the Steelers. But you're right, he just can't stay on the field. Are any of these tight ends, though, and I'm talking about Hunter Henry as well, too, are any of these guys worthy of a first-round selection?
If anybody takes a tight end in the first-round selection, you know what I'm doing? I'm sending a business card to Mayflower to whatever general manager does that trick.
Dave, man, awesome stuff. You know, we'll do this when we get, kind of another month, probably after the combine, get into this and see if any of the kind of measurables that come out of there impact any of your thoughts. And obviously, Dave and I will have had a chance to evaluate more guys. I mean, just your recall and ability, just without us prepping you for anything, is just fantastic. And as I say,
want me to blow your mind? Go over to my site and look at those charts over there right now. I got some numbers on those cornerbacks, and wait till my numbers go up. I got numbers on the wide receivers right now, the 5 wide receivers that somebody better take in this draft. I got numbers on all of the top cornerbacks over there for you guys to look at. If you want to let your people know about, go over to nfldraftreport.sportsblog.com.
And that's NFLDraftReport.sportsblog.com. I've had it pulled up the last couple of days since you sent us that link via the email, Dave. And as usual, you do a fantastic job. We look forward to maybe you passing along some of those individual reports once you get those written up as well. And as Dave said, we're gonna definitely have you on during the process here a couple more times. David Todd, that's all I have for him. You want to
Dave? So much fun, man, as always. Thanks for being with us on the Terrible Podcast.
Anytime, guys. You have a safe weekend, okay?
Dave, I don't know what to say after that. Just always entertaining. He's ready to go. He's had his coffee in the morning.
Yeah, always entertaining is right. The thing is, and I know you did as well too, Dave, we're not going to agree with everything that Dave T says, but he has done what he has done for a long time. He's a wealth of information. He like the rest of us, and probably more times than not, he finds that nut when it comes to certain players there. And you know, I think a lot of our listeners too, I think they like that about Dave T. Thomas is straightforward.
Yeah, he doesn't pull any punches, but
he does, and he'll stand behind what he says too. I don't think you ever come back years later and say, you know, you said this about this player, and him kind of try to twist the facts there. So respect him about that. Like we said, we'll have him on a couple more times throughout the off season as well too. Give David and I a little bit more time to learn more about these players instead of asking them about groups of players. We'll start asking them a little bit more specifically about specific players as well too. Folks, we hope you enjoyed that. Be plenty more draft talk where that comes from over the course of the next several episodes of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at SteelersD. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you reach out to Dave T. Thomas on his website. Let him know that you heard him and are reading his stuff over there as well. And if you want to donate to the show, you can do so. Go to SteelersDepot.com. You'll see the donate button in the right navigation bar up top. David, until next week.
Enjoy the weekend, and as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.